Then we were supposed to have someone else here this morning, and that fell through, and Heather and I were already planning to do this. We just weren't prepared. And so we got somewhat prepared yesterday in the airport. But as my father wisely said, that just gives you less time to mess it up. Spoken from someone who can preach at the drop of a hat with no preparation. This will be good. I'm excited. She has more words on her paper than I have on mine, so I'm a little concerned.
But it's just because I don't actually know how to sermon prep because I haven't done it before. So I wrote out everything I was thinking. So like probably I won't even say half of it. But
that's all you do when you sermon prep. You just write down all the things you're thinking. It's fine. So if you weren't here last week, we started a series on parenting and just trying to, it's probably the most requested topic I've gotten in quite a while, which is understandable. We've got a lot of new parents or new-ish parents, and so we decided to tackle it. I want to tackle that topic with her because she's a far better parent than me, and I do okay, but most of the stuff I do okay, I do because she told me I should do it. And so I just really wanted her to get in here and help me. And many of you, especially you moms, have probably received a lot of wisdom from Heather over the years. And so I'm just trying to, like, prime the pump and get her going, okay? So kind of the format for this morning, well, to give you kind of a review from last week, if you weren't here, we just talked about the foundational idea of parenting, that parenting is God's idea, children are God's idea, and it's a part of his whole entire purpose for the planet. He put Adam and Eve in the garden, and he said, be fruitful and multiply, make babies. And it wasn't just about making babies, it was about making image bearers of God, worshipers. And so they're multiplying worshipers. And for some reason, God invented this baby-making parenting thing to make that happen. And then when we get to Jesus, he changes that. Jesus didn't have any children. And I think that's actually really significant. It was on purpose. It was to change this idea of being fruitful and multiplying to the idea of making disciples. The same idea, just if you think about it, if Jesus had said, we're just going to keep making babies, it would be that the gospel never would have gone outside of the Jewish race. Because I can't make children that are different, a different ethnicity than me. And so Jesus took it, he expanded it to all nations. He said, go therefore into all nations and make disciples. And it jumped outside of one ethnicity and moved out, and that's how it did. And that's our job. And so parenting is the model we have for what it means to make disciples, all right? And it's the job of everybody. So this is a parenting series, but if your kids are grown and out of the house or you don't have kids, this is also for you because you need to see that this is God's model. And you are it's not a fake thing when we say be a spiritual mom and dad. It's not. It's an actual real thing and it's the main thing, okay? And so we're going to talk about three things that make a strong parent, okay? I'm going to give them to you up front and then we'll flesh them out as we go along. The first will be a strong walk with Jesus makes a strong parent. Okay, that's number one. Number two, a strong life in the church makes a strong parent. And then number three, a strong marriage makes a strong parent. Okay? And then we'll talk about each one of those. And I get to start the first one, which is a strong walk with Jesus makes a strong parent. I touched on some of this last week, but basically my thing is you can't do this without Jesus. You can't do it in your own strength. If we set the bar at making worshipers, and not just, you know, productive children in society. That's important, but the world does that, right? You can go get a book at the library and figure out how to make your children, relatively productive. And psychology teaches us that. But what those things can't do is make a child that loves God with all their heart, mind, soul, body, whole self, and their neighbor as themselves. Like, that is hard to do. You can't do that without the Holy Spirit. And so let's look at John 15. As you know, I got to prove it to you. It's nice sitting here and not standing. I feel a little lazy. Starting in verse 1, it says...
You're in Luke.
Oh, sorry. Thank God. I knew you were here for a reason.
15.
Okay, it says, I am the true vine. This is Jesus speaking. And my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. I think if I could summarize the work of parenting, that would be it. It's just bearing fruit. Doesn't that remind you of Paul, who talks about the fruit of the Spirit? And so your job as a parent is to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit to your children and then cultivate that in them, that they would exhibit the fruit of the Spirit themselves. So you say, be patient. And we, you know, if I were to give you practical advice about that, I would say, talk to your kids in that language. Talk to them about the fruit of the Spirit. You need to have self-control. Not stop being annoying. That's not biblical language, right? You say, have self-control. That's a fruit of the Spirit, right? And so this is the goal. But I don't know if you figured this out yet, but exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit is somewhat of a task, right? Have you ever told your kid to be quiet when yelling? Yell at them to be quiet? It's sort of... not the goal, right? It's to be quiet yourself, right? Self-control, patience, kindness, all this, and to cultivate that in them. And that's not something you can do by yourself. So Jesus says, abide in me. It's not your fruit, it's my fruit in you, right? And so the fruit of the Spirit comes through you by the Spirit. So that's what it looks like to walk in the Spirit and to abide in Christ. It means exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit. But we were sitting in the airport, and I wrote a question to myself, which I did not answer. I gave to Heather, which is, that's an abstract idea, isn't it? So then what does it mean to abide in Christ as a parent? And then I said, I handed her the laptop, and I said, why don't you answer that question? Because I don't know how.
Well, yeah, and I don't really either, except that I pretty much any time that there's parenting stuff where it's actually really hard. It's not just like I'm tired or I've had a hard day, but it's like real like heart stuff with your kids. Pretty much always what I'll say if somebody asks me, and always where I try to be anyways, is just I immediately go and ask God, and I immediately go and pray. And it's the most important thing. And I think sometimes it's easy to get frustrated with that answer because it seems like kind of like a pat Christianese answer, but prayer is so vitally important, such a vitally important part of being a parent and of abiding in Christ, because it's our connection with Jesus. It's our connection with that he's given us on this earth is to pray. And so when I don't know what to do, or when we don't know what to do, or when our kids are doing something that's just beyond what we can kind of comprehend, prayer is where it's at. And it's not, we've been able to, and he's going to talk about this in a minute, but we've been able to see the result of prayer in our children, even from a young age. And there are so many times, like when they're toddlers on up, that it's easy to get really super exasperated. And then when you go to prayer, it kind of takes the eyes off of the situation and on to Jesus, who is our parent. So I'm going to read Philippians 4, 6 through 7. And a lot of times we talk about this, about general anxiety, but I think that it applies in any situation, but it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And this is where it's at. This is the answer to when we start. I think anybody who's been a parent has had a day, whether you have a newborn or a teenager, where there's been anxiety about not knowing what to do and not knowing what the next step is. And this is the promise that God will bring peace in those situations. I think a lot of times, like I said, we think of it as kind of like either a last resort, or we think of it as not really a true answer to our questions. But it's true, and there's that scripture that says that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And our kids, from the time that they're born, they have callings on their lives. They have giftings. They have things that they have plans that God has put in them from the beginning, from the time that they were conceived. And so it's not like they just are nothing, and then they're adults, and then all of a sudden they have giftings, which I think a lot of times we think that, or a lot of times, or they have callings at that point. From the time they're born, they do. And so it's really important as parents to understand that, and to understand that the enemy of our soul, that the devil knows that as well and is after those things in our kids. And so for me as a mom, and for him as a dad, like, we, a lot of times we're like, we're warriors for our kids. Like, this is something that we have to stand on the front lines for our kids and say, you can't go past us for our children. And that's been really, really important to us, because God gave us these kids to guard. And that's a way that we can do it. More so than, I mean, all of the discipline and all of the stuff that comes with parenting is really important. But for us to stand on the front lines for these kids, and teach them what that looks like is really important.
Yeah, we've had moments where it was like you're just overwhelmed as a parent. And Caitlin said we could talk about her. She said, you can say whatever you want. I don't care. I'm in a different place in my life. Which is awesome when your kid says that. I'm not going to give you a bunch of details because it's none of your business. But you know, she went through a period a few years ago where her mind just got all kind of twisted up. And she didn't know which side was up in life and didn't know who she was. And it was dark. I mean, that's the best word. Is dark in her head, dark around her. Dark friends. And we saw that, but it was, you know, there's this kind of lie that comes in, like, well, there's nothing we can do about it. She's too old. And which is not true. And I remember multiple times we'd be asleep and she and I would talk and we'd be like, what do we do? What do we do? What are we going to do about this? Maybe there's something we can say or some lever to pull or some decision to make that'll just make her okay. And there wasn't, because we tried. and I remember being asleep, and I'm a deep sleeper. I don't wake up. I'm not one of these people that has like midnight prayer sessions. You know, people tell stories about, you know, the devil showing up in their bedroom. I would not wake up. I'm just that way. But during this season in Caitlin's life, I would wake up in the middle of the night and I'd be wide awake. And to the point where I would sit up in the bed and...
Which, like, he doesn't even do in the morning.
I don't even do in the morning.
it's like...
I sort of fall out of the bed in the morning. Or I'm drug out of the bed by her. And I'd wake up and would be intensely aware of that Satan was at her door and was coming for her. And I knew he doesn't play fair. He doesn't respect her age, her innocence, or the fact that we love her a lot. He respects none of that. And he doesn't play fair. And you sort of think he will. Like, he'll leave my kids alone until they're grown and can, like, defend themselves. No, he doesn't. And I'm not trying to freak you out, but this was not a fear thing for me. This was not me being paranoid. This is like a real tangible thing. And I knew, and I would go, but it's my job to defend her, right? I mean, you dads probably feel that. It's my job. And so I feel this responsibility, godly responsibility, to defend her, but I'm like, God, I'm powerless. I've tried stuff, and it's not working. And just this feeling of being overwhelmed, and that this wicked, evil thing is coming for her to utterly destroy her. And he ain't playing around. And I feel all of that when I wake up, right? And I don't even know how to pray. And I just started to pray, and it was not the kind of prayer you imagine where it's from your pastor. Like, oh, Lord, here I am before you, oh, great Father. And kind of like this, like I would probably hopefully not do with you if you asked me about your kids. But it was pleading, begging, repetitive, boring prayer. God, please rescue her. Rescue her. Rescue her. She can't see, and I can't save her. Would you rescue her? And just saying, and then I remember sometimes I'd wake up like that, and it would just be saying the word no over and over and over and over and over again. No, 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 not, no, no, you're not, no, 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 no. Satan, you're not going to mess, leave her alone. No, no, it's all I could do. And come to find out, I didn't know this, but see how much we communicate. Same thing was happening to Heather. And on different nights, because some nights I slept great. But on those nights, she would wake up with the same exact thing, like this same feeling about the enemy's after her, and we have to defend her, but it's too much for us, and all we could do is pray. And what we began to see is very visible interventions from God in her life. Through other people, and we'll talk about the church in a second, but through other people in her life, just God speaking to her, through friends, God intervening and removing friends from her life, like surgically, just you no longer exist in her life, just gone. And God just started intervening, and she would come, you know, walking through the kitchen or something to say, I was thinking the other day, blah, 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 blah. And she probably doesn't know this part, but it would be stuff that we had said to her before, but just bounced off. And somehow someone else said it, and it went right into her heart, and she would walk out of the room. We would just start crying.
And we also made sure not to say, I told you so.
Right.
Because that wouldn't have gone over.
I don't think
well.
We did.
No.
Did we?
No. Okay. Did we do it?
So this prayer thing is like actually a real thing, and it's a big deal. And it requires you to admit that you don't have the ability to rescue your child from the real things in life that can destroy them. Not skin in their knee or those sorts of things, but the real things, the dark things that can really actually destroy them, that you're actually really worried about deep down. That requires beseeching, begging, pleading with God in prayer. And it actually works.
Yeah, so another part of abiding in God and a promise that he's given us is in 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given to me in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. This is actually, this little part is taken from something that we learned this weekend, and we were talking about leadership, because it's a leadership conference, but as soon as we realized that we had to do this today, I was like, this applies to parenting, and that is that his strength is going to fill in all the crevices, all of the places where you're deficient as a parent, It's what he's promised. And so the places, I know, especially for moms, but I think all parents, this is this applies to, but we feel insufficient. Like it's when we give the, when we're given the baby in the hospital after we've birthed the baby and you've carried it and you've had all these dreams and these plans and these purposes for this baby while it's in your belly and then it's born and you're like, oh my gosh, I have no idea what I'm doing. Like that's like all of a sudden it's this realization and through parenting, like God's gracious to give you tools and stuff, but still there's like always this little thing in the back of your head like, I don't know, I could screw this up at any moment, you know, and it's actually true. And but God but God is made perfect in our weakness. So the places where we're weak, he's promised to fill those crevices in our souls, and in the places that we can't feel like we can carry on, he says my grace is sufficient. So it's an avenue of grace. I was going to read Romans 3. So this is part of that as well. Romans 5, sorry. It's easier than... All right, and it says, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God... In that one way, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And so when his strength shows up in our weaknesses and in times of where we feel like we're suffering as parents or where we feel like we're not quite sure how to go on, it produces endurance or perseverance, and that produces more character in me and in my kids. And that produces hope, which gives us joy, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. So it's like this circular thing, but it's all dependent on our dependence on God. Parenting is filled with like lots of joyous moments. We get to tell lots of fun stories about our kids and funny stories, and we get to see them like conquer all this awesome stuff when they're toddlers and they're learning to crawl and walk and saying first words. And those times are really important, but also the promise of grace in the times when it's hard is really important too. And that's what we hold on to when we feel like our cracks are showing a little bit more than at other times as parents. That's his promise. And then the other thing that kind of just came to mind when Ben asked me about like how do we abide was to feed yourself on the word of God. Before you think about how you're going to turn and feed somebody else. And like we were on the plane this week, and I know everybody's heard this analogy, but you know, they say over and over again, like, make sure you take your oxygen mask and put it on before you turn to help anybody else. And they show like a father and a son in the video. And I was like, and so we were just talking and I was like, it applies to us in our day-to-day lives. It's like, it's important for us to feed on the word of God and to fill up on the word of God so that we can turn and give it to our kids and so that we can be better parents and turn and have what we need, the grace that he's promised us in helping and in parenting. And this is important to remember because it's going to look different in different seasons when you have babies that wake up before you do and then like your day started with babies. And so you have to find pockets of time in your day where you can connect with God. And sometimes in life it's like 15 minutes or it's on the way to work listening to the Bible, you know. Or sometimes in life, like there's seasons in life where you get to sit down for an hour with the Bible and just really pour into it. But find times, like however you can, because it's hard for you to give out what you don't have. And you can only like kind of bank on your reserves for so long. Like the things that you've known since you were a kid or whatever, like that only holds you over for so long. And the Bible says that it's living and active. It's living and active in our lives. And so if we're just putting it on a shelf and just ignoring it, then we're not buying into that promise. So.
Yeah, if you don't do that, you'll burn out. And there's nothing worse than burning out on parenting because you can't quit, right? The kid still wakes up in the morning. You still got to feed it. And so if you're burned out as a parent, that's awful. That's a terrible feeling. I won't ask for a show of hands. Who's been there? I'll raise my hand. And so you got to proactively stock up against that. And you do that by getting in the Word and prayer, connecting with God, squeezing out moments like that. And that's also, by the way, if you're burned out now, that's the way back, just in case. Because you can't quit. I mean, you can get a babysitter, but while you're on that date or whatever with the babysitter, you're just thinking about going back, right? It doesn't solve it. What solves it is reconnecting with Jesus. So we talked about a strong walk with God makes a strong parent. So let's talk about a strong life in the church makes a strong parent. I feel like I've said this before. I'm sure I have. But Jesus sent the Holy Spirit in this place so that he could be everywhere at once. He could be in all of us at the same time. And part of what that means is that if you want the presence of God in your life, you need the presence of other believers in your life. If you want to experience God's presence, the primary way he's made that happen is through other believers. And so it's why you feel lonely when you're by yourself. It's why it's hard to experience the presence of God when you're by yourself. It's easier when we're together because the presence of God is in the body of Christ. And so if you want the presence of the Holy Spirit in your parenting, what do? You get the presence of other godly parents in your life so that you have the presence of God present in your parenting. And it becomes a vital, like encouragement to you, but also a backup parenting kind of force in your kids' life. Is that they see what you're saying is the same thing as what they're saying about God loves you and you know, the fruit of the Spirit, patience matters, right? Kindness matters, self-control matters, and they see that in other parents, and other parents are backing you up. It becomes a very important, vital thing. And so part of what it means to abide in Christ as a parent is to also abide in the family of God as a parent. And if you isolate yourself relationally from the body of Christ, you are cutting off an enormous resource to you as a parent and to your children. So connecting to the church in a real strong way provides teaching moments for your kids through Sunday school, watching others in church. And in hard times, leaders like me and your elders and, you know, community group leaders and other leaders in the church can step in and help you with advice. I love giving parenting advice. She's better at me. Usually what I do is I say, hold on, let me ask Heather. And she'll say, oh, you should say this, and I'll say it. And then I get credit. It's awesome. It's a great system. I'm kidding around. But that's all important. But it's not just the advice. It's also just life together. And she was going to talk about that.
Yeah, so this is like my baby. Like, I love any time you can get me talking about community. It's what I get really excited about. So, but one of the things that's such an advantage of staying in and connected to your church body is community. And if I don't trust you and I don't know you, then I'm not going to trust for you to speak into my life about my kids. And I'm certainly not going to trust you to correct my children. That's not going to be something that I'd be okay with. Because, like, I'm a mama bear. If somebody comes after my kids, like, you don't mess with my kids. So, like, that's when you kind of see the claws come out and stuff. But if I trust you and you've been in my life and we've been in connection with each other, I don't mind a mom being like, hey, Owen, stop doing that. Like, don't be messing around with that. It's fine because I know that other mom's heart. I know that mom loves my kids and that they love me. Whereas if somebody in a store starts saying it to my kids, I mean, I've taught my kids they need to obey adults as long as they're not requiring something of them that's unsafe. But still, it's going to annoy me if some other person says something to my kids because, like, don't mess with my kids, you know? but you're not going to get that if you're not in true community. You're not going to be able to build trust relationships where I can trust, you know, Christina's heart for my kids. If we're not in relationship, then I'm not going to feel that way towards her. And so it's, to me, it's why community is so important when it comes to parenting. And I can't speak to how dads feel. Like, dads are so different than moms, but, like, mom guilt is a real thing. And it's something you hear consistently, like, among all the moms. And what we tend to do is feel like we can't ask for help because then we are admitting that we're not good at all the things that we're certain everybody else is good at because everybody posted on Pinterest and Facebook and Instagram, and their life is perfect as a parent. And so, but if we're not in real community, like, that's all we see. I would just see that so-and-so is actually a perfect parent because all they put up there is that the perfection. But if they're in my small group and I see their kid, like, just flipping out all over the floor, I'm like, meh. I mean, like, all the kids do that. Yeah. So it's okay. And so it brings safety because then we're able to kind of say, hey, like, have you ever thought about doing it this way? Or this is what I do. Or just in talking about the way that you parent, you pick up little pieces along the way. Even if it's not an instructional thing, like, if you're just talking about, even something as simple as a craft. Like, I did this craft with my kids, or we went on this adventure with my kids, and you're like, ah, I never even thought of doing that. Like, it gives you ideas and ways that you can kind of press in with your kids when you're feeling empty and when you're feeling like you don't have it all together. And so in our journey, we came here when Owen was 10 months old and Eliana was 24 months old and Caitlin was 6. And so they were babies. And we had the only kids in the church. And
who remembers Owen screaming in Sunday school?
Yeah, I mean, he was like...
Show of hands.
He was loud.
See what you did, Owen?
But then slowly God started adding people. First of all, the people that were here that had already grown children were so patient because they remembered. And then God slowly started adding people that had children. And so it was really fun. It's been really fun to walk on this journey with other people that have kids around the same age. And it's not a weird and controlling thing. Like, you could take my words and twist it and make it sound weird and controlling, like you should be able to speak into each other's lives, but like it's so life-giving when you're really in relationship with people and doing this. I have like tons of stories, but I just jotted down a few. Like I texted a few people. One I didn't put on here, and I was laughing with one of the moms before, but we have a rule, no kids on stage, just because there's so many wires and things that they can do. And so this little toddler was up on the stage and she had said like 4 times, get off the stage, get off the stage. And he was just, it was like, woo, like just, and so she looked at Alan and said, who's an elder in the church, he's not listening to me. Will you say this to him? And he said, get off the stage. And he just immediately got off the stage. Like he just stood up and walked off the stage. And it was like, he like backed away slowly, you know? And so it's like one of those kind of things where it's like,
Alan spoke.
Yeah. It's one of those kind of things where when you have people in your life that you trust, you know, that and sometimes like your kids just aren't listening to you, and it's something I probably need to deal with that. But like and another adult speaking in, it jolts them out, and they're paying attention. Another one is like when you've built relationships, somebody can walk in the door and like look in your eyes and be like, "What's going on?" And you're like, "Like my kids are just falling apart," and it's you're
Am I right,
able
guys?
To, yeah.
Am I right?
Not guys, but no. Girls. Another person said when you've like been willing to speak into like seeing that a kid is going through something. So like if I was to see something that a kid in our church is going through, and you know the parent's probably aware of it, but they don't even want to bring it up because they don't even know it. And then to say, hey, I noticed your kid is going through this. Like, can we talk about it? Can we? And it immediately brings it out to the light. There's no shame in it. You're able to pray for them because you don't always have the answers. Like, that's not what you're going for. It's to say, let me come alongside you and walk this part of this parenting thing out with you by praying for you. And if I have advice, I'll give you advice. And let's go to the scripture. Like, all of these things that we can do as parents that you can't do if you're not in community. Another one is like we've had sets of girls, like of 3 girls for whatever reason, and 3 girls is like the worst because it like the 3 girls, you know, like it's like and it's you get into that mean girl thing. It looks real easy to get into the mean girl situation, and so it's been fun like as moms for us to be like, so and so is getting left out. Okay, moms band together. You know, no, we're not going to leave this person out. We're going to make sure that these girls learn kindness and not to be a mean girl. And hopefully it's going to spill into them not being mean girls at school, and it's not going to, and they're learning, and us moms are saying, we love each other enough, we're going to make sure our kids are okay. Like, so that's another little thing. Another one is, somebody said was, it helps get others' perspectives. Like, is this defiance, or is this just like, this is just their age and it's okay? Like, I mean, you might need to work it out later because it will be defiance later, but right now they're just one, you know, like, and when you have another parent that's there and you can be like, should this be something I'm addressing right now? And it's easier to kind of like, when you're a community, to get into that place. Another ones are like, I've heard a mom say recently, I saw that mom and she was so patient and it inspired me to be patient. And so that wasn't even a conversation. It was just, I'm walking alongside this mom and she's doing such a good job being patient and I want to be that like that. Or that mom had a really good idea on how to inspire her kids or bring her kids along in their relationship with God. She got them this devotional or she got them this thing. I'm going to do that for my kids. Like, so there's these kind of things that you pick up along the way.
Can we say who the patient mom is?
No.
Why not?
Because I don't want to embarrass anybody. And then also, like, I mean, we were the first to have teens. Like, I mean, since we've come, we've been the first to have teens in the church. And so then as other teens have come up, just to be like, you're not crazy. They're crazy right now. And this is going to be okay. Like, this is, everything's going to be just fine. You know, and that's okay. Like, you have to have a sense of humor in all of it. But then to also talk through, like, this is what's going on emotionally, and this is what's going on with them spiritually, and this is, you know, and being able to kind of walk through some of that stuff and laugh about it and cry about it and all that kind of stuff. So it's also a lot of fun when your kids get older and you're able to speak from experience. So now we have the joy of, like, having people in our lives who have the toddlers and the littles, and now we don't. Like, our youngest is 12, and so it's really fun to be able to be able to speak into, I've had experience, but I'm not in the trenches right now in that moment. So this isn't hard for me. I don't have a whole lot of emotional attachment to this. So let me speak into this for you. And it's really fun to see the lights come on and be like, oh, like, I hadn't thought about that. To me, because I had gone through it with my three, like, it became like, it was just part of life. And so that's a really fun part too. So older parents, like, as you've walked through this and even your kids are out, like, and for me as a teen, like, if you see something that with teens, if you see something I'm walking through, then, like, speak into it, you know, like, because it's something that we need, is to say, this is hard. We know this is hard. And let's get through this. 'Cause that's really important.
Yeah. I think it's, you never really retire from being a parent, because even if when your kids get older, one, they're still your kids, right? But also, there are other kids to speak into around you. Then you have grandkids, and boy, can't wait for that. How many grandkids do you have?
I mean, yes, we need to, that we're not going to.
18 grandkids over there. Wow. It's a full quiver. It's awesome. And a lot of prayer. You got a long list of prayer things. And so I just, you know, if I think it would be easy, I haven't been there yet, but I think it would be easy to say, when you get to that stage in life, to say, you know, okay, I've done that. I've had my kids. No more babies around me, please. And I think that's not a kingdom attitude. I think you just don't retire from the eternal things ever. You might retire from your job, but you don't retire from that. And these parents, me included, need that. We need your presence. We need you to, I've said before, you older ones, when you say it's going to be okay, it means a lot more than when a 20-year-old says it's going to be okay. No offense to the 20-year-olds. I mean, keep saying it's going to be okay, but it means more, especially when it comes to parenting. Someone who's been through all the things you've been through to say you're going to make it, you're going to be all right, that's a big deal. And so don't disconnect from that. In life, that it really does matter. It matters to us, for sure, and has mattered when you guys have said that to us. All right, so you want to talk about marriage?
Yeah.
In 6 minutes?
I might.
We might actually end on time because she's up here and she's usually the one who sits there and goes.
You must just tell my secrets.
They already knew.
Yeah. So, obviously, it needs to be said that in order to be a great parent, you don't have to be married, because I know lots of great parents who aren't married, but it is God's design, is that you're supposed, you know, that God's design is to have a two-parent home and to walk through parenting in marriage. So we're going to address some of the, about being single just really quick, but I wanted just to talk a little bit about the marriage part as far as saying that a husband and wife, like, we're called to be in unity together, and we're called to help each other. So as we're parenting, this means that from the time that our children are conceived and throughout parenting, that we are praying for our kids. We're asking God to show us stuff about our kids. We're, like I said before, we're fighting for our kids. We encourage them. And parenting changes as they get older, so you're able to have more discussions with them. And it's fun because, like, Ben and I are very different. Ben always will bring the sense of humor to a situation. And so,
and that's
like, that's not true. That is not true. He has a lot of wisdom. And so, but he can bring a situation down that seems very tense. Because I tend to be super, like, strong-willed, like getting at whatever it is that's going on, and I'm just, like, boring in at, you know, all I have a focus on is this is defiance or this is whatever, and I'm, like, going after it, and he's, like, he'll come in and, like, bring humor, and it allows for us to be a team together so that he's not disrespecting me and the things that I say, and I'm not disrespecting him and the things he says. And if we disagree, we're able to go behind closed doors and talk about it and be, like, I totally don't agree with what you're saying right here as a parent. Or I think that you need to think about spending more time with or doing this or that. And he's able to say the same thing to me. But we're not doing that in front of our kids because we've kind of worked out in the marriage thing. But we also know when it's, like, okay to be like, well, I don't know, in front of the kids. Well, I don't know if that's true. So it's like kind of, but if we didn't have a good marriage, then we wouldn't be able to walk through that part of parenting. And Ben has giftings and ways of seeing things that I don't. He has faith where I don't, and hopefully I do where he doesn't. Like, hopefully we're able to balance each other out where so we shouldn't be combating each other, and it shouldn't be a comparison thing where it's like, well, I'm this parent and you're this parent, and, like, obviously I'm better, or, you know what I mean? Like, there should never be that, but, like, an appreciation of the fact that we're different and that we're able to kind of go arm in arm together into this parenting thing. And it's something that strengthens us as a parenting unit instead of separating us. But if we didn't have a strong marriage, then that wouldn't be true. It would lead to a lot of fights, because there's definitely times where we see things completely different. And if we're in a good place in our marriage, I mean, there's been times when we are struggling in our marriage, and it always makes parenting harder, because I immediately assume things about him that aren't true. And when we're in a good place, I don't do that. But when we're struggling in our marriage, it's really easy for me to make assumptions or jump to conclusions about things that he's saying, or that he maybe would think about me that aren't true. And when we're in a good place, I can be like, no, wait, did you mean this? And he can answer me, and we're okay. But if we're, like, you know, at blows in our marriage, then I'm just like, this is what you meant, and, you know, like, that kind of thing. And he's like, I didn't mean that. And then it blows up into this bigger thing, so.
Mm-hmm.
Heather can comment.
Heather's an excellent interrogator. I would make a horrible interrogator because I just believe the person. So I tend to just believe my kids. And she goes, we have ways of making you talk. You know, Caitlin, have a seat. You know, and it's like,
I'll be like, are you, like, going to believe what they just said? Like, I'm, you're like, just believing that hook, line, and sinker?
Well, yeah, they said it.
I'm like,
so,
no, what? Lies.
And so we're good because, you know, then she can get paranoid.
Yeah, that's true.
And then that's the downside of having faith, is you tend to believe people when you shouldn't. And when you have kids, sometimes, I don't know if you knew this, it was new to me, but sometimes they don't tell you the truth.
How is it new to you? You lied when you were a kid. Like,
I don't know. My parents are right there.
They know. That's what they're saying.
Yeah, so in my experience, couples often neglect their marriage for the sake of their kids. And you might not think of it that way. It may be more of like your marriage gets crowded out because of your kids. It may be more of the way it actually happens. You don't make a decision, we're going to set our marriage aside for the sake of the kids. But it happens. And you can start to think that, well, when the kids get a little older and they're less trouble or whatever, we'll deal with this. When the kids are out of middle school, we'll deal with this. And then when the kids are out of high school, we'll deal with this. And then when the kids are out of the house, we'll deal with this. And you keep kicking the can down the road in your marriage because of the kids, thinking one day we'll get around to like looking at each other again. And that is a huge mistake, because your unity in your marriage creates stability in your family emotionally for your kids. It's not just a united front thing, like you're against your kids. I've always had a hard time with that analogy, because it's not like you're this army on one side of the hill and your children are on the other side and you're meeting in the middle and fighting and you're hoping you win. Like, that's not how it's supposed to be. It's more like you're creating a stable foundation. And so it one affects the other. And if you keep waiting to stop and look at your spouse and build your relationship until your kids are gone, you're going to find that your relationship is a huge mess by the time you're done. I think the other thing that my experience that happens is you go into having kids with problems. And then those problems kind of exacerbate the stresses of being a parent. And you think, well, we're too much of a mess to fix it. And I can't deal with this and the stress of being a parent. So I'm just going to do what I have to do, which, like I said, you can't quit being a parent. You can't just clock out. And so you just don't make room for it. And I think it's the same answer to those of you in that situation where you feel like maybe you didn't plan on having kids, or you thought your relationship was fine and it wasn't, and you had kids, and then you need to address your marriage. And it's part of being a parent. It's all one thing. It's not two separate things. It's one thing. And we can't talk about how to do all that this morning, but I would just say, do the things that you probably know you need to do. Getting time together alone without the kids. I know when they're newborns, that's hard to do, but as soon as you can stand it, get a babysitter, even if all you do is go down the street and talk about your kids the whole time.
But try to have at least some of
try not to do that, yeah. But do it. And maybe you need some marriage counseling. Maybe you just need to talk to another couple that's kind of a little farther down the road than you, to just say, hey, could you walk with us and help us, and can we call you, and can we hang out together? Can you hang out with my kids and help me, help us in our relationship? That might be what you need. That's probably the most helpful thing. But what you should not do is kick the can down the road thinking you'll deal with it later, because it is affecting you right now, and it is affecting your kids. And you got to face that now instead of later. We got to wrap it up, don't we? So let me say this. What we've been describing here is like the God's kind of perfect scenario, right? Great relationship with God, strong relationship with the church, and a strong, unified marriage. And I am well aware, because I know you all, most of you anyway, that I don't think anybody here has got that, all three of those locked in. And some of you, maybe you're not married, or you weren't a Christian when your kids were little, and now they're older and you're trying to figure out how to do that. And there's no ideal perfect scenario. And what you need to see is that Jesus specializes in redeeming broken things. This is what he does. And your children, and I would say also your marriage, are central to God's agenda for the planet, for creating you to begin with, of multiplying worshipers, That's what he's all about, and it's what Jesus died for. So that means, good news, Jesus died for your broken scenario, whatever it is. If you got, you know, divorce, multiple parents, grown kids who aren't walking with God, a messed up marriage, no marriage, whatever weird combination of life that you've got going on, right? And you're saying, well, I'm not those three things, and I don't know how to fix not being those three things. What does that mean for me? Does that mean I can't be a strong parent? Emphatically, no. Without Jesus, that is what it means. But with Jesus, he can redeem whatever thing you've got going on that's kind of unique and complicated, and he can take that and redeem it. And this goes back to what Heather was saying about filling in those cracks where things aren't ideal, either in you or in your life situation, and he can bring himself and redeem it, and God will supply what your kids need. He knew you would be the mom or you would be the dad, right? He knew the situation, and he put your kid in it anyway. He took your child. He saw them before the foundations of the world were laid, and he said, I'm going to put them in your situation right there. And you got to rest in that and say, God will supply, and he'll supply me with what I need to know when I need to know it, with the strength I need when I need it. And you just go back to plug into him. And so I just want to make sure nobody walks out of here going, well, I don't have this, I don't have that. Does that mean I can't be? No, that's where you need Jesus. And nobody in here has a perfect situation. Nobody. Don't lie to yourself, and don't let other people lie to you with their Facebook posts. No one has a perfect situation. And I think that's where we should end, is to pray for that, to pray for all of us, that where there's cracks and where... I want to pray for you know, older kids that maybe are struggling right now, younger ones that are struggling, and if your marriage is all these things, that God would pack in grace into those holes and that you would see God's redemption come in those situations. Amen. So why don't we stand up and pray together? Do you want to pray? Do you want me to pray? Do you want to both pray? We have options. I'll start, and then if you can finish. How's that? All right. You see how we're working this out as we go. God, I just, right now, just lift up every parent in this room. God, that I know that we are all keenly aware of our deficiencies. And our deficiencies usually occupy our attention more than anything else, especially when we're raising children. And then the children get older, and our deficiencies in our hindsight, that we look back and the mistakes we made, and we wonder how much of my mistakes contributed to their current problems. And it can get really overwhelming because we don't see our deficiencies alongside of you. We don't see our deficiencies on the cross with you. We see them alone as our own responsibility. And God, I pray right now that you would come and redeem every one of those things. God, there are some kind of typical families here with mom and dad, and the kids have grown up in church, and that's a wonderful thing, and that's what you gave me. That's what you gave Heather. But God, I'm also aware that that's less and less typical. And there are some really complicated family situations in this room. And God, I ask you to come into those situations, and that the experience of grace would increase for those parents. God, that they would have the burden taken off of their shoulders, and that they would be just plugged back into you. God, plugged back into your spirit right now. God, that they would be able to take their children and give them to you as an offering to say, God, these are your kids. They're not mine. I'm just the mom. I'm just the dad. I'm just the steward. I'm just looking after them for you. They belong to you. And God, I pray that we would all, as every parent here, be able to take our children and offer them to you with open hands and trust you that you will supply everything that they need and everything that we need. And God, forgive us for our failures. God, would you have mercy on our children despite us and supply everything that they need to walk with you and pursue you. Amen.